We are back for the third and final segment of Investor IQ. My name is Glenn Wessel. We've been discussing some of the pearls of wisdom of legendary investor Warren Buffett. And we're going to continue with that theme just on the chance that listening to a really smart guy or what he has to say could possibly help you in some way. I know it helps us. We have just so many quotes here. We're not going to have time to run all of them past you today. But we're going to talk a little bit here about toads and princes and so on. Rob, why don't you just read what Warren had to say about buying well-run companies versus buying lesser companies at cheaper prices.
And this quote is from one of his annual reports, which I just wanted to mention, and the investment community are considered to be kind of required reading every year when they come out. Everybody rushes off to read them and get more pearls of his wisdom.
Yeah, they're transparent. They're transparent. They're truthful. They're humble. They're humorous. It's very unlike the polished reports that come out of most corporations where they're trying to spin everything in a positive light. They're full of candor, which is awesome.
And he says in this, we have tried occasionally to buy toads at bargain prices with results that have been chronicled in past reports.
Badly, right?
Right. Clearly, our kisses fell flat. We have done well with a couple of princes, but they were princes when purchased. At least our kisses didn't turn them into toads. And finally, we have occasionally been quite successful in purchasing fractional interests in easily identifiable princes at toad-like prices.
Right. Those are the winners that you get when market sentiment is bad and you're getting in at a good price. So what I guess what he's saying is that they bought some princes at prince-like prices, which means you're buying a good company, but you're paying a premium for it, but it still worked out anyway, which is not the preferable way. But buying a toad at a toad-like price is probably not really a bargain.
Right.
That's, I think, the overall point. Got a couple quotes, or at least one here, that I'm not even sure has to do with investing. The only way to be loved is to be lovable, which really irritates me. Then I saw him on, I don't know if it was Good Morning America or one of those early morning shows a few years back. Warren Buffett mentioned that his wife had invited him upstairs to, Agnes, can we say fool around on the air?
Yes.
Fool around. To which he said something like, I'd be glad to go upstairs with you, or I'd be glad to fool around with you, but at my age, you're going to have to pick one or the other because I can't do both. All right. So what do we have here next? We have a quote about Wall Street, a condemning quote about what Wall Street is kind of all about. And Warren Buffett would know because that's where he gained his investment legs.
Many in Wall Street, a community in which quality control is not prized, will sell investors anything they will buy.
That's right. So if something looks good because other things like it have seemingly worked out well, you can bet the farm that there's going to be a lot more of that for sale because it's based on sentiment. And I actually was a broker for a brief period of my time in my life where I worked at a penny stock house for about 6 months before I understood what was really going on there. And believe me, folks, things are sold to the public that have no investment merit. It's not about the investment merit. It's about selling it to the public.
Right. And when you see a lot of new mutual funds coming out, it's probably a good indication that that area of the market might be overbought. If a lot of technology mutual funds are coming out or if a lot of small cap mutual funds are coming out, it's probably a good idea to stay away from that area of the market.
Right, right. Let's see here. On the merits of sticking with a disciplined approach, you understand. Warren Buffett wrote in a letter to his partners during the stock market frenzy of 1969, I am out of step with present conditions. When the game is no longer played your way, it is only human to say the new approach is all wrong, bound to lead to trouble and so on. On one point, however, I am clear. I will not abandon a previous approach whose logic I understand, although I find it difficult to apply. Even though it may mean foregoing large and apparently easy profits to embrace an approach which I don't fully understand, have not practiced successfully, and which possibly could lead to substantial permanent loss of capital. He was digging his heels in, and even though the market was surging, he couldn't make sense of why it ought to. and he didn't follow it. So he was missing out on some gains, which would have opened him up for criticism. But as a final note to that, a recession began later in 1969, and stocks went down in a pretty good downdraft. That recession, I think, lasted about a year or so. So there's value in sticking to your guns if you feel you have an understanding of what's going on. Don't abandon it just to follow the crowd.
And this quote relates to cascading short-term market forecasters. And in it, he says, we've long felt that the only value of stock forecasting is to make fortune tellers look good. Even now, Charlie and I continue to believe that short-term market forecasts are poison and should be kept locked up in a safe place, away from children and also from grown-ups who behave in the market like children.
Yeah, that's right. So, short-term market forecasts are pretty close to useless, and I think they do a disservice to most investors. Here's another gem regarding the benefits of maintaining one's perspective. The most common cause of low prices is pessimism, which is sometimes pervasive, sometimes specific to a company or industry. We want to do business in such an environment, not because we like pessimism, but because we like the prices it produces. It's optimism that is the enemy of the rational buyer. How about that? How many of you out there have said, no, I don't want to invest in something because I just don't feel good about it because none of my neighbors feel good about it? Well, that's not the dictum that Warren Buffett follows. He actually looks at it in the reverse. Let's skip down here. He talks about how much IQ you need to be a successful investor. Success in investing doesn't correlate with IQ. Once you're above the level of 25, once you have ordinary intelligence, what you need is the temperament to control the urges that get people into trouble in investing. By the way, I looked up the IQ ranges. Anything under 70 is definite feeble-mindedness. So you've got 45 points underneath definite feeble-mindedness, and you could still be a successful investor as long as you control your emotions.
Yeah.
I just think that's awesome. It's probably not quite true, but I think the point is clear. So how are we doing on time, Agnes?
We've got
a few more seconds. Yeah, I think we're going to probably wrap it up for this week, and just encourage you to keep listening to us here on WWNC. If you'd like to check in on any of the previous podcasts we have, they're out there. Just go to WWNC.com, click the Listen button, and you'll see the podcast section pop up, and you can listen to all your favorite hosts there. Or you can give us a call at 232-2000. Just ask for me. My name's Glenn Wessel or Rob Simon or Alice Wessel's there from time to time. We'd be glad to try to help you out. And that takes us to the end of this week. We are out.